Are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered unto him, We are Abraham's seed, and have never yet been in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, every one that committeth sin is the bondservant of sin. And the bondservant abideth not in the house forever, the Son abideth forever. If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 20, Let each man abide in that calling wherein he was called. Were you called being a bondservant? Care not for it. Nay, even if thou canst become free, use it rather. For he that was called in the Lord being a bondservant is the Lord's freed man. Likewise, he that was called being free is Christ's bondservant. You were bought with a price. Become not bondservants of men. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we would pause to thank you this day for the freedom that is ours to meet in this building. We would not underestimate such gracious bestowals from your hand. We are thankful, our God. We acknowledge it. We give you recognition that it is you who has made it possible for us to experience what we are enjoying this day. We thank you. And our Father, we are glad also that you've told us about other areas. And we desire that this day we shall understand them more, that we shall appreciate what you bestowed upon us as a nation, and then what you can bestow upon us individually. And this will require that thy Spirit work in the hearts of those who are listening and empower the lips of him who speaks. So, grant this to us, and we confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because you promised, and that is what we do. Bless our nation, all of those who are in authority, and our Father, indeed, let freedom continue to reign. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. There is no such thing as freedom for man or for angel. Never any freedom. You say, how can that be? Just like the Lord told us in John chapter 8. He tells us in John 8 that everyone that committed sin is the bondservant, is the slave of sin. You say, then, if I am free physically, if I'm owned by no man, it still does not mean that I'm free. That is right, because there is such a thing as being a servant, a slave of sin. You say, but what if my sins are forgiven and I trust Christ as Savior? Then you simply change masters. Do you understand? That's what it said in 1 Corinthians 7. It said, if you were called being a bond servant, don't worry about it. You are Christ's freed man. And if you were called being free, you are Christ's bond servant. So, either in your unsaved condition, you have a master who is Satan, or in your saved condition, you have a master, who is Christ. There is no such thing as freedom. I was a slave for 19 years, and then, after 19 years, I changed masters, but I remained a slave. And if I am privileged when asked, what is your occupation? I say, I am a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. In a special way, not just being saved, but being privileged to preach the word. As the Savior said to Simon Peter, do you love me? And as proof of his love, he said, then you feed my lambs and you feed my sheep. But I cannot go and say, I am the master of my soul. There is no one who has dominion over me. That is false, because it is either Satan who is your master or Christ who is your master. But now, I want you to think a little bit about freedom and the freedom that we celebrate today. But it is not like the freedom of which we read concerning the nation of Israel. When Israel received its freedom from the Egyptians, they were freed as slaves. And eventually, when Rome lost its power over Israel, they were freed of political servitude. But our freedom was neither from slavery or political servitude, but it was free as a colony from Great Britain, of which we were a part. It is not that we were different from them. The ones who came were of Britain. And what they sought was a freedom not from slavery, not from political dominion by another nation, but they wanted freedom from oppression and injustice by their own legitimate rulers. You must remember that. And for that reason, you can't say, we were freed in the United States the way Israel was freed in Egypt. The colonists were never slaves. And at the same time, you can say, we were freed from the dominion of Britain the way that Israel was from the power of Rome. Britain never had that power over us. But we were freed as colonists from the rules being made by Britain enforced on us without our consent. And so our freedom is something like it, but there is not an exact parallel in any of these illustrations that I've given you. But God uses the illustration of deliverance from Israel, from Egypt, and we are going to think about that deliverance and what our Savior says about it in the New Testament, because that's as near as we can come. Let me tell you a little bit, though, about the freedom that some have experienced. Have any of you ever talked in the past, you haven't done it recently, but in the past, to anyone who was ever born and lived a slave? I did. I'll tell you about it in a moment. And have you ever spoken to any of the soldiers that fought in the war between the states? Have you ever seen them? You say, no. Then evidently I'm older than you think I am. But I remember as a teenager going down to Hertford with a friend of mine, John Allen Cates, and on this plantation, there was this vast home. Here is the master's house. And there was an old black man on that plantation in his 90s. And John Allen said, I want you to meet Uncle Henry. And we went and talked to him, and he told about his life as a slave. And it was fascinating to listen to that man who had experienced it, who was alive when Abraham Lincoln granted him freedom. That was what was so remarkable. And I can remember some of the stories that he told us. He said that as a young boy, his master would sit on the front porch of his plantation and he'd have a fan. And any time flies would come around his master, he would fan those flies away. And at the same time, he related a story about the time that he saved the lives of some children. He was in a boat and the storm came up, and he rowed and rowed to get them back to shore, and finally, overpowering the storm, he found the water just shallow enough for him to jump in and pull that boat to shore. And I can remember those things for some 50 years ago. Here was a man that was an actual slave. And some of you might not remember it, but out on Euban Avenue, there used to be the Confederate home for soldiers. And in the 30s, some of us from Boylan Heights would walk out and we would see what few soldiers were left sitting on that porch. And as I recall, one of them had a long white beard. And so slavery is something that Israel knew about as a nation. It's something that those in my lifetime have known about as individuals, but it's something that I've never experienced, and neither have you. If you are an American, you have never experienced any of the servitudes that I've related to you. You have never been a slave to another nation. You have never been dominated politically by another nation. You have never been a colony ruled over unjustly by another nation. All you have known has been freedom. You say, thank God. And you take it for granted, and you do not thank God for it. That is what is so sad. And the God who bestowed it can take it away. But we have never experienced anything but freedom as men speak of freedom. And when the Savior was talking to some that had superficially believed on him, he told them this. And I'm going to tie this in a little bit with the parables I gave you last week. Then said Jesus to them that had believed him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You remember reading about the seed that was sown among the thorns? It said, as men went their way, the thorns grew and choked the seed of God, the word of God, and it became unfruitful. And the Savior said to those whose hearts had been sown, he said, if you continue in my word, if you abide in my word, you see, they're going their way, and God's word is working upon their heart. He said, if you continue and allow it to work in your heart, then are you truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But let me show you how perfect was our knowledge, the Savior's knowledge of these who had believed him superficially, and their own thoughts concerning themselves. When the Savior said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, they discovered, as they went their way, that their heart was a mass of thorns, and at that moment the thorns were growing and crushing the truth of God that had entered their heart. They were not the thorny, they were not the rocky hearers, but they were the thorny hearers, because the thorns immediately grew and choked what Christ had said. For this reason, the Savior said, if you continue in my word, then are you truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And with indignation they drew themselves up and said, we are Abraham's seed and have never been in bondage to any man. The Savior retorted. He said, every man that committeth sin is the bondservant of sin. He's trying to tell them that the freedom that I'm talking about is not a freedom from nations. It is a freedom from an invisible kingdom, a kingdom that is dominated by Satan, and what excels and what pervades is sin. That is what I'm talking about. They were unable to grasp what he was saying. And yet, let's take for a moment the literal answer that they gave to the Savior. They said, we be Abraham's seed and have never as yet been in bondage to any man. If we have time, I may give you four references when God himself tells them that they were bondmen. Now, this is a serious thing. When someone tells you you are something and you deny it, and from the own book that you purport to believe, I can show you four references just as a starter. to prove to you that what you are saying is incorrect. They said, we are Abraham's children, have never been in bondage to any man. Now let me tell you why they would see that. Because God's word does tell them things. It says that out of Sarah's womb shall become those that are rulers of the people, rulers of kings, and they shall prevail in the gate. Now, they are great promises. I see. And so those that are descended from Abraham are going to be rulers of kings, rulers of the people. We shall prevail in the gate. And they grasp that thought. Isn't that remarkable? That anything that will exalt a man in their Bible, they can grasp it. But this is what they forgot. That they were in bondage as a nation for some 400 years in Egypt. And yet they said, we have never been in bondage to any man. And then in the book of Judges, you will find that cycle after cycle, they were in servitude to the nations round about them. And had they forgotten that Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed the temple that Solomon built, and they were in captivity for 70 years? That Ezekiel said, I was among the captives, about Jeremiah, about Ezra and Nehemiah coming back and rebuilding the temple. Have they forgotten about the 70 years of captivity? And at the same time, have they forgotten about their present servitude to Rome? You say, isn't that a remarkable thing? That from the very beginning, for 400 years, and continuing on and off for longer or shorter periods of time, they had known nothing but bondage and slavery and servitude. And yet when the Lord Jesus speaks to them, they say, we are Abraham's seed and we have never been in bondage to any man. Now, what success can you have with a person who cannot acknowledge the truth historically concerning his nation and concerning his person? Like some who would wave the flag in the United States and say, it's the land of the home of the free and of the brave, and there's no sin here, and God loves us, and his blessing is shining upon us. I wish it were so. But what I'm afraid is that God looks down upon us in wrath because we have departed from him. And what is sad is this, that even his chosen people, Israel, whom he acknowledges as his chosen people, when they sinned against him, he sent them into captivity for 70 years, and then he drew them back. And when they thought that no one could ever destroy them when they had their temple in Jerusalem, God sent Titus in AD 70 and destroyed their temple and massacred them as Jews who sought to defend that temple. They never could grasp such a thing. And we in the United States think that we are such a chosen nation that no matter what we do, that we can reject God, we can shut him out from every activity of our life, and still he loves us, and he is compelled to bless us because we are the chosen nation. I say that I wish that what you say is true. But if Sodom and Gomorrah did not escape the wrath of God, and if Israel, the chosen nation, did not escape the wrath of God, why do you think that we who are inferior to them should escape the wrath of God? And so we have freedom today. I rejoice in that. And may God continue to give us freedom, this freedom that we have as a nation. But do not take it for granted. God, who graciously imparted that freedom to us at first, allowed us to attain it, the same God can take it away from us. It speaks about those who, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. Wherefore God gave them up. And so God, who lifted us up, can give us up, and we can return to bondage. I remember that just before the Second World War, no one ever could have thought that Great Britain could have been reduced to what she is today. The sun never sets on Great Britain. And yet you'll find that one by one, the possessions of Britain were lost. The richest nation, the most powerful nation in the world, it became enfeebled, and now look at Great Britain. And the same thing is happening to us. So do not take it for granted that we will be strong forever, that we shall be wealthy forever, that the favor of God shall withhold all judgment from falling upon us. Because it said, if God spared not, he mentions not only the nations, but the angels that sin. And this is what God would have us to think of today. There's nothing wrong mentioning in a religious service political things such as this, like the ones that I'm mentioning, because it says to pray for those in authority. And it says concerning those that have rule over us, that just as I am a minister of God in the gospel, it says they are God's ministers unto thee for good. And so law and order and authority, it says they are God's ministers unto us for good. And I rejoice in that. I rejoice in the establishment that people are seeking to tear it down because they want freedom. But what they fail to understand is that if they did away with every law in the United States and were free to do what they wanted to do, they simply have become more greatly enslaved to sin and their invisible master, of which they know nothing. Free, just as the Lord Jesus acknowledged to them, I know you are Abraham's seed. He never denied that. They could trace their genealogy back to Abraham. And at that time at the temple before it was destroyed, a man could go and he could trace his genealogy back to Abraham. But while the Savior acknowledges that physically they were descended from Abraham, there was also something in their genealogical picture that they never acknowledged, that a man has not only a physical genealogy, but he has a spiritual genealogy as well. And while this conversation continues to get more heated, eventually the Lord Jesus told them. He said, yes, you are of the seed of Abraham. He said, but what I want you to know is this. You are also spiritually of your father, the devil. Now, if I trace my genealogy, I can, for several hundred years, I can trace it back. But if I were able to perfectly trace it back, you too, we would all arrive at Adam. And so we could say, we all were derived from one. And so my physical being was derived from Adam. But at the same time, my ruin spiritually derived from Adam. Because it says, for as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. And so, yes, I know my genealogy. I am of Adam. I am of the earth, earthy. And because of that, I'm going to die. And I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. That's my genealogy. But at the same time, something worse than that. Not only is there a physical father that is mine, from which I derive flesh and blood and my nature, there is also another one whom Christ speaks of, the prince of this world, the prince of darkness, the prince of the power of the air. And there are two gods. It says, the god of this age hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving. And so Satan is the god of this age, and he is the prince. And so he is a god, and he has a religion, and he is a prince, and he has a kingdom. And that's what the Lord Jesus is speaking about. And that is what they refuse to acknowledge, that there is a twofold genealogy. And they would only acknowledge their descent from Abraham, but they would not acknowledge the truth of their historical servitude. How much less would they acknowledge their spiritual servitude? And that's what's wrong with people today. They say, how dare you say that I am a sinner? And what happens is this. I told you about those seeds sown among the thorns, and the thorns are so rapidly growing that whereas at the first they were inclined to believe on the Lord, as he told them the truth about themselves, they did not continue in the truth. They did not abide in it. They rejected the truth, and they were ready to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how quickly the thorns in which the good seed of the Word of God can grow and crush out the truth of God. And so what hope there was, if you continued in the truth, that you would know the truth and the truth would make you free, the thorns crushed out that truth, and they were ready to destroy the only man that could give them true freedom. That is a freedom. That is a freedom that is chosen. A freedom that you can enjoy. A freedom from which you would not depart if you had the opportunity. I want to tell you about that a moment. If there were more Lord's days, I would take a whole message on it. You'll find both in Exodus and in Deuteronomy a man that is a slave. And the day comes when he can be free from his slavery. But when that day comes, he goes to his master and he says, I do not want my freedom. I love my master. I love my wife. I love my children. I will not go free. And I can say this, that if at times when we complain, and thank God, I do not complain outwardly and question God. However, at times you say, it's a difficult thing seeking to live for the Lord. If the Lord came to me and said, all right, if you wish, you can leave me and go back to your old master, I would say, oh no, Lord, oh no. Because he gave them that opportunity in John 6. When he was speaking to disciples there, as he's speaking to them here in John 8, it says, as he spoke the truth. Now, if you are truly a follower of Christ, if you're truly seeking to be saved, the truth will set you free. But if you are not, and the truth hasn't possessed you, then what happens is that the truth of God infuriates you and brings out what you truly are by nature. And so it says, upon this many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And the Lord Jesus turned to the 12 and asked them this question, not expecting them to leave, but he said, will you also go away? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And so, alas, if the Lord gave me a chance to go away, there's no one to whom I can go, because the thing I want is eternal life, and I want to rid my life of sin. And the only one that can do this thing for me is Jesus Christ the Lord. So if he said, and I've been saved for over 40 years, do you want to go away? I would say, no. And Lord, if I did, I'm not so foolish. There is no one to whom I could go. You have the words of eternal life. And so, as that slave who had a chance to leave his master, he said, I'm not going. So in like manner, as a slave, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, I tell you, after all these years, I've served two masters. I've served the Lord Jesus, and I've served Satan. I say, serving Christ is better, and I do not want to go back to my old master. The Savior tells him this. He says, now, I've begun to talk to you. If you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You must allow the truth of God to possess your soul, to pervade you, to control your thinking. If not, you'll be just like these blinded hypocrites who, when they said, we are in bondage to no man, at that time they were under the bondage of Rome, but they would not acknowledge it. But the truth can make them free. The Lord Jesus would simply bring to their attention scriptures, as I've told to you, and if they were bent on accepting the truth, they would say, why, of course, why, my forefathers, why, the ones that caused me to celebrate the Passover every year. Now, they were slaves for 400 years. And then I remember Caleb, and I remember all of my forefathers in the book of Judges, and I remember Nebuchadnezzar destroying the temple. And right now, I know that I can't even execute a man if he does something wrong without going and getting permission from Pilate. Oh, God, how blind I am. You see why you need the truth? Be realistic. You need the truth. The truth will set you free. If you know the truth, it will put your mind at ease, and I can only tell you these things. What Satan does is to use lies. He is the father of lies. When he speaketh of a lie, he speaketh of his own. He's the father of it. But he uses things, and it says in Hebrews 2 that Satan, using death, it said, men, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And so he holds death over us. and that keeps us in bondage to him. And at the same time, it says that the love of money is a root of all evils which some grasping after have fallen into a snare, many hurtful lusts. And so, the fear of death and the lust for money, and it says, the lust for other things entering in choke the word. And there is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, and you cannot free yourself from it. It is impossible to free yourself from it. Here is the rich young ruler, and the Savior said, sell what you have and give to the poor and come follow me. And he was unable to do it. And at the same time, asked Samson to lead Delilah. He is unable to do it. And ask all of these sins that have us entangled and ensnared, free yourself from them. You say, it's impossible. Then, if there is a search for freedom, the only freedom is freedom from sin and damnation and judgment and misery and becoming a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he imparts to you a freedom like you've never known before. You don't have to fear death anymore. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? And at the same time, you do not have to be enslaved with material things like wealth and the lust of the flesh. God can impart to you and fill your life with things so that with Moses you can turn your back on the treasures of Egypt. And as Zacchaeus, you can say, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And concerning death, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you can say, I'll be thrown in the fiery furnace before I deny God and worship your idol. And so you're seeking freedom this day? Well, thank God there is a freedom, but it means becoming a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So experience this freedom because you'll never find it anywhere else except freedom in servitude to Christ. Do that this 4th of July Memorial. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful for the truth that has made some of us free. Oh God, we were so blind. We were so hypocritical, enslaved by sin, and yet refusing to acknowledge it. Our eyes have been opened. We know that there is a God of this world other than the God of heaven. And we know that he is our Father. He was until we trusted Christ. We thank you for all these truths and that they've made us free. You've enriched us in all utterance and knowledge. And we thank you for this, our God. So let us remember it, and let us serve Christ well. And let us remember the cost at which Christ became our master. We were bought with a price, the precious blood of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We are thankful, our God, for such a price paid for our freedom. And then in gratitude, let us serve our Savior all the days of our life. So, our God, bless us as individuals, and bless our nation. And bless this world which you, O God, love and have given your Son for. In his name we pray. Amen. Just this thought. There is lunch at the back. Please stay. You're welcome to enjoy it. And I'd better say one more little prayer to give thanks. I didn't include it in this prayer. And so afterwards, go straight back. Everything is ready. All right? Our Father, not only for spiritual blessings, but for daily bread as well, we give thee thanks. For these refreshments, for which we are about to partake, receive our thanks. And remember others hungry, needy everywhere, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.